time for Valley Sports on ESPN Kansas City. Kansas City's first and only weekly radio show hosted by high school students focusing on the Blue Valley School District. Blue Valley, Blue Valley North, Blue Valley Northwest, Blue Valley West, and Blue Valley Southwest. Now your Valley Sports starting lineup. Riley Underwood, Lainey Boger, Sarah Gravin, and Jack Hancock.
Welcome to Valley Sports on ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM and 94.5 FM. My name is Riley Underwood, along with my co-hosts, Lainey Boger, Sarah Gravit, and Jack Hancock. We are extremely excited to bring you our very first show of hopefully many more to come. We are all high school students in the Blue Valley School District. I'm a junior at Blue Valley Southwest, Lainey is a freshman at Blue Valley, Sarah's a junior at Blue Valley, and Jack is a freshman at Blue Valley North. First off, I'm the play-by-play announcer for the Blue Valley Southwest Timberwolves for Wolfpie TV, which is the broadcast program at Blue Valley Southwest. I'm also a varsity letter winner on the tennis team. How's everyone doing today? Lainey?
I'm good. I'm Lainey Boger. I'm a freshman at Blue Valley. I play JV this year for tennis. I play volleyball also, especially sand volleyball. Sand volleyball is probably my favorite. I'm very interested in broadcasting, and I'm very excited to be on the show. And I'm also very excited about the Chiefs.
And I'm Sarah Gravit. I am a junior at Blue Valley. I am the junior captain for the Blue Valley Tigerette dance team, and I also dance competitively at a local studio, Starstruck Performing Arts Center. I am the junior class student council secretary and am also a member of Tiger TV, which is Blue Valley's broadcast club, making hype videos and highlight videos for sports.
And we will hear from Jack a little later in the show. But first, our new show, Valley Sports. We have collaborated with Union Broadcasting, which are the owners of Sports Radio 810 WHB and ESPN Kansas City, on a new weekly high school radio show. Our one-hour show will feature interviews with Blue Valley District high school coaches, student athletes, athletic directors, alumni, and much more. You will hear the show every Wednesday from 5 to 6 p.m.
Today on the show, we have a great lineup. First, we will talk to head coach of the boys and girls Blue Valley tennis teams, Coach Dave Francis. Coach Dave is one of my coaches, actually, this past season. We will talk with him about the girls' tennis season, looking ahead to the upcoming boys' season and the challenges COVID presents to the high school sports.
Also, we will have on Blue Valley North boys basketball head coach Ryan Pfeiffer. In the latest 810varsity.com Metro Top 25 poll, Blue Valley North is ranked number 7 in the city. They are 10-1 this season.
We'll also have Jinu Kim. Jinu plays basketball at Blue Valley Southwest, and he's having a terrific year, and we will catch up with him on their season and how that's going so far. Our hope is to inform listeners about what is going on inside the district athletically. We will bring you some great stories and interviews from the district's top performers. But before we talk about Blue Valley High School athletics, let's talk about Kansas City Chiefs football. The Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl in Tampa. Let's hear a couple of highlights as heard this weekend on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Mahomes tosses it inside, and it is a touchdown, Travis Kelce. You talk about a shovel pass. Mahomes is so adept, and he put it right on the money in a crowd to Kelce for the score. Allen on second and four. Look out. Josh Allen is engulfed by Frank Clark. Allen will throw it into a crowd, knocked around and intercepted. It's picked off by Fenton. Fenton working the right sideline, and he's dropped as he crossed the 40-yard line. Mahomes takes a knee, and that is it. The Chiefs are going back to the Super Bowl.
I'm so honored to accept this trophy on behalf of this incredible team and the best fans in the National Football League. My dad would love the grit and determination of this team. Chiefs Kingdom, we're going to Tampa to run it back.
We love the Chiefs fans. Let's give us one right here. How about those Chiefs?
The best thing about this team is we believe in each other, and every single time we hit the field, we leave everything we have. But the job's not finished. We're going to Tampa, and we're trying to run it back.
Andy Reid is hard at work preparing for the Bucs. Here are his first thoughts on the game.
Yeah, so we've dug in on them this morning and tried to get a jump on that. We understand that it's a little bit chaotic when you, with all the media obligations and the things that go on during these next couple of weeks. So we're trying to get a jump on the best we can before complete chaos hits. So And what you see is a team that's not making many mistakes, that is got a high level of execution going on offensively and defensively. Variety of looks on both sides of the ball, solid on special teams. You can see where Tom's leadership on the offensive side is showing. He's playing at an extremely high level, and for somebody his age, it's unbelievable. I mean, it's unbelievable for a 25-year-old to be doing what he's doing, let alone a 43-year-old, or So, and then defensively, they're fast and they're always on the attack. Not a lot of guys that do it as well as Todd Bowles does it, and he's got a large package there of goodness that he throws at you, and so you got to be on your toes when you're playing against his team or his defense.
And I think to win this game, the Chiefs, just like their previous matchup, Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill need to hook up and produce some big plays. And I think the corners like Lajarius Sneed and Charvarius Ward need to shut down Evans Godwin, Miller Brown, all their big receivers to prevent big plays from Tom Brady and the Buccaneers.
Now I want to talk about the coaching display and mental toughness displayed by Mecole Hardman a bit. The coaching staff really impressed me with this one. Everyone wanted Hardman to see the bench after his muff punt, but they went back to him on the very next offensive drive. They could have just as easily sat him down and not gone back to him, but they showed confidence and faith in him. It helped build him up, and he made some solid contributions in this one, including the longest postseason rush in franchise history.
I'm feeling very good about the game. I was actually in Tampa earlier this year for a regular season game. The Chiefs won it 27-24. We got off to a big lead, and we held on to beat the Bucks.
Well, for sure, it's going to be an exciting couple of weeks here in Kansas City. We'll come to you with our predictions next week.
When we come back, we will be joined by Blue Valley tennis coach Dave Francis on Blue Valley Sports on ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM and 94.5 FM.
Welcome back to Valley Sports on ESPN Kansas City. I'm Riley Underwood alongside Lainey Boger, Jack Hancock, and Sarah Gravitt. We have a great show for you today. First off is the head Blue Valley tennis coach, Dave Francis. Dave, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thank you.
That's great to hear from you. We're glad to have you on today.
Appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Hi, so this is Lainey. Can we start out by you just telling us a little bit about yourself?
Well, you know, I am not a teacher. I'm I run a company here in the Overland Park area, but have the opportunity to also be a coach, and it's something that I've done since all my kids. I have four kids, and ever since they were knee high to a grasshopper, I've kind of been their coach, and so it's just something that I love doing, and I love working with students and athletes, and so it's a wonderful thing to get to do.
How long have you been the coach at Blue Valley, the tennis coach?
I was the assistant coach for about 5 years, and that's back when my daughter was the head coach, which is another story. Then I've been the head coach for the last 2 years for boys and girls.
That's cool. What are some of the highlights from the most recent girls tennis season?
Well, I'll tell you, girls, we had 43 girls come out. We typically have somewhere between 40 and 50 girls come out. Wonderful thing is we've got 10 freshmen. I love the fact that when we get a good number of freshmen in, and I'll tell you, the strength of this freshman group is really good. But this is probably one of the deepest, or was and will continue for a number of years to be one of the deepest Blue Valley girls teams that I've been around for the last 7 years. And so we ended up fourth in EKL and just missed third place by a point or two. end up second in the region, which is it's the toughest region in the state of Kansas. So we were really excited to come in and be second in our region, and fifth place in 6A state. So it was a great year, great year.
Yeah, it sounds like you had a great season. This is Sarah here. Yep. How has COVID-19 affected your season?
You know, we were pretty blessed not to have any big incidents. We implemented some pretty strict protocols that kept everything very healthy, and our environment was safe. We also changed our practice schedules. We would normally, in a season, have two practices a day, 20 players at each practice. And during COVID, we changed that to three practices a day and had 12 to 13 girls in each practice, which enabled us to do a great deal of social distancing. But, you know, the weirdest thing was, is the first time you see the girls come up to the court, you know, your first thing is, I need to take your temperature. You know, it's instead of starting in on a conversation, you gotta hit them with a temperature. But, you know, my hope is that this is going to quickly become in our rearview mirror, and it's not something that we're going to have to do for a long time. But, you know, it's with the protocols worked beautifully for us during the girls' season.
Mm-hmm, yeah, hopefully next season it goes back to normal, at least a little bit.
I'm hoping it's a little bit better. For the unfortunately, my boys' season last year, everybody left for spring break, and I didn't see them again. I mean, it was just really, really strange. And so they completely lost their season last year. I had eight seniors that just didn't get to have their senior year, which from a coach's standpoint is really a bummer. I hurt for them, we made it through it just great. So.
Mm-hmm. This is a little change of topic, but how did the doubles team, I know Suri and Sophia went to state, that their partnership, or what do you think was so special about their partnership?
Well, the most special thing is they played 3 years together. And when you play 3 years together at the level and the intensity that those two play, it's just going to be good stuff. They were like 60 and 24 over those 3 years playing doubles together. In 2018, they were sixth place in state. 2019, they were third, and last year they were fourth. And so, they're just, how many girls in the state of Kansas that play tennis would love to end their high school career with at least, in Cherie's case, it's at least, because she could very well medal again this year, but to be able to finish with those types of finishes in 6A tennis in the state of Kansas. So, but, you know, they just know each other so well. They know each other's tendencies. They know, they almost think about things in the same way. They don't have to communicate verbally. A lot of times it's a nonverbal communication when you played with someone that much. So that was really unique to have a team that you could keep together and play at that level for 3 years. And loved doing it. It was really fun.
And obviously you just talked about that pair's success, but how does this year's team as a whole compare to the previous years that you've coached for Blue Valley?
Well, you know, we lost eight seniors this year, and one of them is Sophia, and then several others that were varsity level players. But we have such depth in this group that I just really don't think we're going to miss a whole lot of a beat. And so I'm really encouraged for this year, or, you know, for 2021 in the fall is when the girls play, and, you know, 22 and 23, because of what we have, in, if you will, in the pipeline that are already out on the team. And that doesn't account for who's going to show up. And, you know, we don't bank our program on who's going to be coming out of the different tennis clubs. We do a lot of development of kids. Many of our top JV and lower varsity players started at the black and gold level, which is kind of our development group, and have worked into that. So we do a lot of development, and I don't have to be concerned about, oh, where did they go to school? They went to West. They didn't come to High. You know, we build what we need for the future. And so I'm excited about what we've got.
Yeah, you know, you're sounding really confident in your future teams. And as you look to the future of the 2021 girls tennis team, what are you most excited for?
Boy, that's a tough one. You know, I think I always love to, when we go through tryouts and we're kind of in the first couple of weeks of just trying to figure who's playing where, who's a singles player, what looks like a good doubles combination and so forth. We've just got so many parts that could really prove beneficial for us. You know, I think that the fact that we have 15 of our 20 players coming back, 15 of our top 20 players are coming back next year is remarkable. You don't oftentimes see that as being the top, having your top numbers coming back for a, you know, their junior, their senior, junior, and sophomore years. So I'm just excited about the where we sit right now. And you know, we'll be blessed with some other really good freshmen coming in, I'm sure. That's just kind of characteristic of the Blue Valley schools. So,
yeah. What do you expect for the upcoming boys tennis season?
Boys are deep as well. You know, it's and I think part of this is because we have a program. We build, we develop kids. We don't, kind of just let them, you know, see who comes in and put them in at the top of the ladder and so forth. We've got 16 of our top 20 from last year coming back. Only two of those kids that we lost were varsity. I understand we have a really strong freshman class, and that's the weird thing. I never for sure know exactly who's going to walk on that court on March 1st. From what I hear, we've got some really good freshmen coming into the program, in March. So, you know, it's very competitive. Blue Valley tennis, and I'm not talking about just Blue Valley High, Blue Valley is, we're the top district in the state of Kansas for tennis. And, you know, it's iron sharpening iron when we have an opportunity to play North and West and Northwest at the 6A level. And so we love the competition that we frequently get, as well as with Shawnee Mission East and some of the Shawnee Mission and Olathe schools. It's the best tennis in Kansas. So I think we're well positioned to finish strong for the next couple of years in both boys and girls tennis.
And you spoke about how good the district has been in years past, but what schools do you think are going to be your toughest competition and your toughest opponents coming up this boys season?
You know, it's the difficulty is that we didn't get to have a season last year to kind of know. We're like 2 years displaced as opposed to knowing who kind of came out of state last year and who's strong. You know, I think that, and any of them can surprise you. So, because you just don't know what you're going to get. But North is always a challenge. Northwest is just seems to pull rabbits out of the hat. I mean, they're very, very good. They've got a great coach. Both of them have great coaches. And West is in a little bit of a transition with going from one coach who's been there for quite some time, and they're in the process of trying to bring another coach on. And you'll see a little bit of a hiccup there. But and then Shawnee Mission East. I mean, Shawnee Mission East is just the perennial monster when it comes to boys and girls tennis. So those are, you know, we oftentimes, I refer to our team as really we're a perennial top five Kansas 6A tennis team. And we are as a finish in state. And, but those are in competition. That doesn't mean that Shawnee Mission or Olathe or even Manhattan, Kansas can't come up with a number of good players that will compete. But as in terms of having a team that can compete, nothing matches the Blue Valley school district schools. So.
Yeah, Coach, do you think you have any players that you believe will place at state this upcoming boys season?
I sure hope so. And I think that, quite honestly, and I'm not going to name any names because I don't know that that would be the best thing to do, but I can just look at my top six of who I've got coming back, and all of them have potential to be state medalists in either singles or doubles. It's strong. It's very good. Making sure we have the right combinations in doubles is going to be a real key. But it's pretty clear who your strongest singles players are. The chemistry that you have between two doubles players to get a Shree and a Sophia performance out of them is always a challenge. But I think that we've got at least our top six have a potential to be medalists at state this year.
Yeah, and you mentioned earlier on that you had a great experience getting to coach with your daughter. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, that was, I mean, that's kind of every dad's dream. I coached my daughter. I've coached up my kids and just roller hockey, you name it. I just kind of coached them because I love doing it. But I was her high school coach at Kansas City Christian and coached there for 7 years. When she left Kansas City Christian, she went off to college to play tennis. And I quit coaching so I could go travel around and watch her play because I loved watching her play. She graduated, had an art degree, secondary education, got a job at Blue Valley, was given the assistant coach job, and shortly after that was given the head coach job. And she called me and said, "Dad, you won't believe what just happened." And she told me, and she said, "Will you even consider being my assistant coach?" It took me a nanosecond. And I said, "Absolutely." So we coached together for 5 years, and it was just a blessing. It was so much fun. And then she goes off and gets married and moves away. And I was fortunate enough to be invited to stay and become the head coach of Blue Valley. So she is our number one fan, even though she's in Glenwood Springs, Colorado. Mm-hmm. She's the number one Blue Valley High School tennis team fan because she is constantly wondering what's going on. So,
yeah, I bet that was an awesome experience.
Story. Yes, it is. It is.
So our last question is, what would you say that your greatest accomplishment has been being the head tennis coach at Blue Valley?
That's a tough one because it bridges assistant and head. My philosophy with this tennis program and really in any kind of coaching, but particularly, for this particular program is to really encourage and to challenge my athletes to become the very best that they can with the God-given talents and gifts that they've been given, both on and off the court. And so I feel like our program is grounded in doing that. We want to have fun. We want to do everything as a team, which tennis is not the best team sport because there's lots of individualism to it. But it's fun to be a part of that team. We've had our state champions in doubles and state champions in singles and different things like that over the years, which has been wonderful. But the biggest thing for me is building relationships with my players so that they trust me and I trust them. I mean, if there's an accomplishment that I'm trying to get, it's having a program that grows like we grow, where kids stay around. They don't leave the program after being in it for a couple of years. They stay 4 years because they're having so much fun and they're enjoying it. Whether they're playing black and gold, JV or varsity, it doesn't matter. They're loving tennis. So when they're older, they're still playing tennis because this is something you can play when you're 80. It's not like soccer or football or something like that. You can be playing this like golf when you're much older. So I hope this becomes something that they love enough they continue playing after they leave our program.
Well, thank you, Coach, for joining us. Well, we really appreciate
it. You're so welcome.
We really appreciate talking to you. And when we come back, we will be joined by Blue Valley Southwest basketball standout Jinu Kim, only right here on Valley Sports on ESPN Kansas City, 1510 and 94.5, when we come back. I wondered what was wrong with me. Friends all fall so easily. Called the first one savage, more my mood, that's what it was. Welcome back to Valley Sports on ESPN Kansas City. I'm Riley Underwood, along my side, Lainey Boger, Jack Hancock, and Sarah Gravett. We're joined by Jinu Kim, who is averaging 14 points a game for the Blue Valley Southwest Timberwolves. Jinu, how are you doing?
Good, Riley. How are you doing?
Doing great. We're so glad to have you. And so...
Yeah, it's great to be here.
Well, starting off with an easy question. When did you start playing basketball, and why did you decide to start?
Well, I started playing basketball ever since, like, probably I was 5 years old, and my dad got me into it just to get me into team sports.
Yeah, so you mentioned you started when you were five, but when you get to high school, you have a lot of opportunities to play really any sport you can imagine. So what made you choose to stick with basketball at the high school level?
Well, I think around the sixth grade, I used to go to Blue Valley Northwest and watch Coach Britz and his varsity team play. And I remember Friday nights just watching, and I remember that I would want to be in that situation. Like those Friday nights, the crowd, just the atmosphere was great. So that's what ultimately stuck with me going to my freshman year and wanting to play basketball.
Now, you played on varsity at Southwest as a freshman, right?
I started JV and I played a couple minutes, and then sophomore year I started varsity.
So starting on JV and then playing a couple minutes in varsity as a freshman, do people take you seriously?
At first I think it was probably, they had a couple questions, I bet, at first, because a freshman playing up a couple years. But, you know, once my teammates got to know me and I got to know my teammates better and the coaches got to know me better, I think a trust was built and a relationship was built from that.
And Jinu, you're a junior now. So how has the Blue Valley Southwest program changed when the 3 years that you've been there?
Well, we had great leadership last year when I was a sophomore. We had five seniors, and they really paved the way for us now. We're a young team this year, but we carry on a lot of things from last year from the seniors.
And the mid-range shot is automatic for you. So how do you get to be so consistent from the free throw line?
Well, I always work on these. I always watch Kobe Bryant's game and how he used to get to the elbows and the free throw line. And I just try to model that, and I just try to put that in my game.
Awesome. Now, what are your goals for this season, and how do you plan to achieve them?
Well, the ultimate goal is to make it to state like last year and I think for that to be possible, it's our team has to work together, build trust and relationships, and we just got to trust our coach well. We got to trust our coach as well because he got us there last year. He's got good things for us, and I think he's got a good plan for us.
So you're a junior, so you've been at Southwest for, you know, 3 years. What have been some of your favorite memories and moments playing as a Timberwolf?
I think my favorite moment was winning sub-state for the first time in school history last year and seeing how happy everyone was, especially our seniors. And I was just so happy to get to state with the seniors for their last year.
And you mentioned last year, but what this year, what has changed from a player perspective with COVID going on?
It's definitely, I think it's tightened. I think our chemistry could be better since this summer. We didn't have this summer to play together as much. We didn't have team camps and go to K-State camp and stuff like that. So I think our chemistry was a little lacking at first, but I think we built that up tremendously and very quickly.
And what motivates you the most as an athlete?
The ultimate goal is to play at the next level, and that just pushes me every day, just play at the next level.
So you mentioned typically over the summer you guys, you know, you have your team workouts. What typically is conditioning like over the summer, and what was it like this season?
Well, usually we get a lot of shots up. We get to hang around each other, go to camp early in the morning, play together, get coached by meet the coaches, meet the new players if there's anyone new. But this year we didn't get that. We didn't get to see each other at all this summer, and we didn't get to play at all together. So that was very different from the previous seasons.
Well, thank you for joining us, Gino. It's a blast watching you, and good luck on the rest of the season.
Thanks, everyone.
All right, and when we come back, we will be joined by Blue Valley North head coach Ryan Pfeiffer, only right here on Valley Sports on ESPN Kansas City, 1510 and 94.5. We are now joined by Jack Hancock from Blue Valley North. Jack, tell us a bit about yourself.
Oh, thanks, Riley. So I'm a freshman at Blue Valley North. I'm a big sports fan, big broadcast fan, big ESPN fan. You know, I love college football a lot, and college athletics especially. I do some PA announcing over at Blue Valley North. I've done some boys and girls basketball, volleyball, soccer, and football. Excited for this Chiefs game coming up in a couple weeks.
Well, we're excited to have you on the show.
Thank you.
We are now joined by Blue Valley North head boys basketball coach Ryan Pfeiffer. Coach, how are you doing?
Doing well. Just finished practice, and guys had a good day today, so glad to talk to you.
All right. Thanks for being here, Coach. And congratulations. Earlier this season, you hit 200 career wins at Blue Valley North, which is a pretty big milestone, so congrats on that.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. It's my 15th year, so I'm fortunate to have some great players and coaches and everything come through and all contribute to that. So and especially in the support of my family and the parents here too. So it's definitely been a team effort.
Yeah, and so you said you've been there for 15 years, and you know that's a long time to be coaching somewhere. And what's really North's been a really strong team throughout those years. What's kind of changed and shaped throughout all those years, and also what makes this team so strong?
Well, I think, when I first came here from Nebraska, and our first few years were a little bit rough, but we just had to kind of build the culture and build our program up and really started working with, the youth programs and middle and elementary school and kind of getting guys on the same page and trying to have everybody in our system, freshmen on up, run the same type of drills and stuff, and got some great coaches in here, and then the players really bought in. And really the big thing for us is we're really emphasis on team-oriented basketball. I mean, we have some really, really talented players the last few years and going back to even when I started. But I think the aspect of just they share the basketball really well. Really it's not about stats, it's about wins and everything else. I mean, we have, four starters back from last year's team, and, several are college prospects, but they don't necessarily care what their stats are. They just care about wins, and that's really showing on the court.
I know lots of teams in sports have struggled with COVID this year. What has your team personally struggled with?
Well, it has been a battle. We're trying to stay as safe as possible. We've had several players from freshmen on up that have contacted COVID, and we've had some shutdowns through here and there. But fortunately for our varsity team, it happened right before the winter break. And so we were able to come back and at full strength and not really miss any time compared to some other schools. But, we try to do our part in practice where we stay distant. We don't really use locker rooms. We shut our meetings really early. We don't do too many long team meetings. The players don't necessarily have to wear a mask in practice, but we still do just to try to stay as safe as possible and stressing to do the right things on and off the court. And hopefully, we've got, 5, 6, 7 weeks left here with the postseason that we can stay safe and continue this role that we've been on.
And, Coach, how does your team this year stack up to others you've had in the past?
Really, they're pretty similar to a few other teams that we've had. And, last year we were able to, make it to the semifinals before we did get shut down. And we had a great group of seniors, but we also had, 4 juniors who started. And so, I think the key thing for us that has helped with our teams in the past is versatility. We have guys that can play multiple positions and guard multiple positions, and, they can play inside out. And like I said before, they really share the basketball well, and basketball IQ as well, too. I mean, we got guys who study the game and watch a lot of film and things like that, and I think that's definitely been a staple of our program over the years.
Yeah, and, talking about this team this year's versatility, how do you think they fare this season, and how do you feel about their chances?
Well, we have gotten off to a pretty good start. We're 10-1 right now. And, really after – so we play Olathe the East on Friday, and then next week we start really our EKL play. And the EKL is one of the toughest conferences in the state. And so I think, we've developed a little bit more of our bench. Some of the guys coming in off the bench have started to get more confident. We do start a lineup with Andrew Orr, who's 6'8", and Nico Taylor, who's 6'5", and Isaac Patterson, 6'4", 6'5", basically. And then Curtin Bundy's a pretty tall guard, about 6'2", and then Luke Adams is 6'. So, really all of those guys are averaging, basically we have 4 guys in double figures, and Luke is right about there. So, I think one thing, it's pretty tough sometimes to game plan for us because we do have guys that are capable of scoring 20 any night. But we also have guys who know that, hey, this guy has the hot hand. I'm fine with, working tonight for rebounds and assists, and let's just do what we can to win the game. So that's really propelled us to a pretty good start.
And how did you get to be a head coach, and why have you stuck with it for so long?
Like I said, I'm originally from Nebraska. I grew up there. I played basketball at the University of Nebraska. And then that was really where my passion for coaching started, just kind of be around the game and around some great coaches and players and people. And so then I got into coaching right after that at Lincoln Southeast High School, and was pretty fortunate to coach some great players in basketball, but also played other sports like Alex Gordon. Was a basketball player for us at Lincoln Southeast, so I was fortunate to coach him and a lot of other great players. And I was a JV coach and an assistant coach for 7 years, and then when I felt like it was kind of the time to make the jump for a head coaching move, my wife and I really liked the Kansas City area, and we looked down here, and I was fortunate to get the job. And really the school system's great, the players have been great, the support staff has been great around here with the academics and the parents as well, too. So, every year is a different challenge, putting a different team on the court and trying to build up, with what we have. We don't go out and try to bring players in. We just, work with our system and try to develop the players as much as we can. And so it's worked really well for us so far, and hopefully we can keep it going.
Your team is doing very good this season. Like you said, they're 10-1. But what are some teams in the league that you're worried about playing?
Well, like I said earlier, the league is loaded. I mean, we have many top schools. Miege is one of the best schools in the state, and our only loss was to Blue Valley Northwest. And then also we have, you know, some other solid schools. St. James is right up there too, and you know they're getting healthy. Earlier in the season, they were a little banged up and had some COVID issues. And then also, you know, we've played all the Blue Valley schools once, and now we'll play them again a second time. So that always poses a challenge. You know, we have a pretty good rivalry also with Blue Valley High, and so it's definitely fun. There's so many great players in the league. There's also so many great coaches that, you know, game planning and going against some super talented players and coaches is always fun.
And you mentioned you have a really talented roster this year, but who's been the player that you've been most impressed with that's came through your program?
Well, you know, just in terms of this year, really, like I said, we had four guys that started most of the games last year, and Andrew Orr has really developed his game, and he's committed to Washburn to play next year. Isaac Patterson is another player who's got some college offers and options, and he's had a solid season. And Nico Taylor has really developed, and Nico moved here from San Diego last summer and really rounding into his game this year, and he's somebody that can do quite a bit on both ends of the floor. Luke Adams is really one of the best shooters I've ever coached, and he's got great range, and he's capable of getting hot any night. And then really for us this year, one of our key guys that has really been a surprise, I wouldn't necessarily say a surprise, but a guy that's really been important to our success has been Kernan Bundy, a junior who's averaging close to 15 a game and played JV last year. And one of our leading players last year was Jack Sheplak, who averaged about 18 points a game. And Kernan's really kind of stepped into his spot, and you know, his development has been key for our team's success.
And on the flip side of things, who has been your toughest player opponent to game plan for?
Well, you know, like I said, our big rival is Blue Valley Northwest, and it's always a tough game. And you know, they're very solid every year, and they have great players, and they run a very good offensive system. And so that's been pretty challenging. You know, the team that we're looking forward to is also Miege coming up. They have quite a bit of size to match up with us as well too, and so those are two opponents I know we're going to definitely be looking forward to play. But like I said, this league, there's really no off nights. Anybody can beat anybody any night, so that's a big thing for our guys, is they know that they can't take any nights off, and every opponent that we have, they definitely have all of our respect.
So, you know, you said you've been at North for 15 years coaching there. And, you know, obviously 200 career wins is a huge milestone, and I'm sure was an incredible night to get that 200th win. But what have been some other really important and memorable moments you've had coaching the Mustangs?
Well, I think, like I said earlier, I think, you know, our first 3 years, the first year we won six, the second year we won six total games, and the third year we won nine. And those were pretty rough years, but that was just, again, building our system and building our culture. And those players were kind of our foundation pieces. And then we had some really good coaches come in. And also, so that group, my first year were freshmen, and then when they were seniors, that was our first trip to the state tournament. And one of our most memorable wins has to be that senior group there. And we were playing in the sub-state final against Olathe South. And they were, at that time, they had one loss. And I think they were one or two in the state. And we were down at halftime about 12 points. And we came back and won that game. And that was one of the most memorable wins we had, because I think that just propelled our program. And the guys really believed after that. And then we ended up getting third place in the state tournament that year. And that really, I think, was a springboard for us to kind of get going. And the guys really started to believe. And then, you know, you could see kind of the younger kids coming through camps and other things to really take off. And, you know, last year's win to get us to a state tournament when we beat Blue Valley West on the last second shot was a huge one. And so those have been some really really memorable shots for us and memorable wins out of those 200-plus that we've had here.
And so you mentioned you played at Nebraska from, was it, 96 to 98?
Yes, correct.
So, 96, you all won the NIT tournament under Coach Danny Nee.
Yeah, that was the year right before I got there. And then I came that next year, and so they won that NIT the year before I got there. And then we played in the NCAA tournament there in 98, my last season there.
Yeah, and so what was it like jumping into that, you know, that D1 school who had just won, came off a huge, you know, tournament win?
Yeah, and that's the one thing is Nebraska's always known for football. It is definitely a football school back in those days and everything. And but like I said, that was kind of getting into coaching was really something I wanted to do. And you know, I played at a junior college for 2 years, and I contacted Nebraska and said, you know, I really want to get into coaching and wanted to, you know, walk on and see if I could. There was a spot on the team, and so I went there originally as a walk on. And after a couple weeks of practice, I lucked out that there was an open scholarship, and I just worked hard and I was granted a scholarship for the next 2 years. And but really took that opportunity, even though my playing time wasn't that much. I took the opportunity to really soak in everything as far as coaching aspect is concerned, to just try to help myself prepare for what I felt like was going to be my career. But and just being able to be around the skill development of the high-level athletes, being able to kind of see the scouting and the detail that went into the game preparation and everything, and then just being around some great leaders and high-level players. I was fortunate to play with Teron Liu, who played in the NBA, and, you know, he won a NBA title with Cleveland as a head coach and is now the head coach of the Clippers. You know, I still, you know, touch base with him every now and again, was able to go out a few years ago and spend time with him and watch the Cavaliers and LeBron practice, which is one of the memorable moments of my life to go see that. And so those type of things have really helped me with some connections and to be able to learn and grow the game myself and be able to pass that on to others.
Yeah, and playing under somebody like Coach Nee over there at Nebraska, you know, how much did that impact your life?
Well, you know, I think the main thing was just the discipline that it took. And he was definitely a disciplinarian, and we had to make sure that we were on point with everything. But I think the discipline that he and, you know, and everybody had to have to, in order to play at a high-level college basketball. And I think that's one thing that, when the players and I speak about things with college, it's not knowing that it, how much of a full-time job it is, and, you know, how you have to stay on top of your homework. You have to stay on top of your body and your nutrition and everything else, because you're going to be practicing and workouts constantly and game film and everything. And I think that's the one thing that just going through those times in college with Coach Nee and the rest of the coaching staff kind of helped me kind of understand more of what it takes to make it in that next level, to help our players potentially move on to that step too.
Well, thank you, Coach. We really appreciate you taking the time out of your day to come and chat with us, and it was a pleasure having you on the show.
Well, we appreciate it. Thank you very much for covering high school basketball, and it's been a pleasure, and anytime you need to talk, I'm always here.
Sounds good. Thank you, Coach.
All right. Take care. We'll see you.
Thank you for tuning in. From Laney Boger, Sarah Gravett, and Jack Hancock, I'm Riley Underwood. Our first show is in the books. Check in with us every Wednesday from 5 to 6. This has been Valley Sports on ESPN 1510 and 94.5. Open all the doors and let